Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
There are a few people in every field who are universally celebrated. And in the field of afterlife studies, that leading star is Dr. Gary Schwartz of the University of Arizona at Tucson. Today, we're going to talk with him about what a century ago, William James called a white crow. William James was an early researcher who said that to disprove the theory that all crows are black, we don't have to prove no crow is black. It's enough to find just one right crow. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes. And Dr. Gary Schwartz is that rarest of gifts. He's a scientist trained in our best universities who discovered anomalies that interested him and who put pursuit of the truth for the sake of all humanity before his own monetary gain. It was his terrific 2003 book, The Afterlife Experiments, that finally convinced this diehard skeptic that some psychic mediums are in touch with the dead. Dr. Schwartz is a brilliant scientist, and he's my wonderful friend. Welcome, Gary. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be with you. Thank you for arranging our time together.
Well, let's start, because some people may not know who you are. I find that hard to believe, but some may not. Can you just tell us really briefly, where were you trained, and what was it that made you say, wait a minute, I've got to start looking at some things?
Sure. I did my PhD at Harvard University a long time ago, 1971, and was on the faculty there for 5 years before moving south to Yale University, where I was a professor for 12 years. And I directed what was called the Yale Psychophysiology Center. So the work that I did bridged the mind and the body. And while I was there, I've always had a special interest in physics and electronics. And I became fascinated with the nature of light and how light had a kind of immortality. Because when we look at the sky at night, when we see stars, we're seeing a history of starlight going back millions or billions of years. The light's preserved in the vacuum with all of its information. And that opened me to the possibility of life after death. And then I moved to the University of Arizona. It was a move of the heart, not realizing that it was the ideal place for me to pursue these burgeoning spiritual science issues. And one thing led to another, and here I am.
I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing. It would take us many conversations to talk about all the work you've done. I should just say that my own favorite book of yours, as you know, is The Afterlife Experiments, because I had done so much work with just trying to do research and see if I could find a good psychic medium. And because I didn't have any doubts and I didn't have any people recently dead, and because I was probably putting out skeptical energy a mile around me, everybody that I tried, even very expensive people, way over $1,000 per a session and you had to wait a year, not a one of them seemed to me to be not cold reading and to really be doing what they claimed to be doing. And so I was a total skeptic. So when I picked up your book, I thought, okay. And that was my introduction, not just to you, but primarily to the fact that, some of psychic mediums no doubt are real. Tell me just quickly so we can share with people, how did you test these mediums that really convinced somebody I thought would never be convinced that psychic mediums are real?
Sure. By the way, you know, I started out as a skeptic too, but I didn't have all the negative experiences with mediums that you did, because I had no former history with them. And by the way, if I had had those kinds of skeptical experiences, again, we would not be having this conversation.
That's right. You couldn't have done the work exactly.
I couldn't have done the work, because I would have come to the conclusion that they were all frauds.
You have the gift of open-mindedness, dear. You're skeptical, but you're open-minded. I'm a little less open-minded, and that's been a handicap. But bless you for spreading the truth.
Thank you. I think that one of the things I've come to discover at myself lately is I'm not just open-minded, but I'm open-hearted.
Yes.
And being open-hearted as well as open-minded is critical for this kind of research.
Yes.
anyway, the way that we did many, many experiments, and I had the privilege to work with what I called Michael Jordans of the mediumship world. These were people who were willing to come to the laboratory under multiple conditions and on multiple occasions to be tested under initially what's called single blind, then double blind, and then triple blind conditions. And what blind means is that you're not given specific kinds of information. So single blind means that the medium doesn't know the identity of the sitter or the deceased loved ones, but the experimenter does, and of course the sitter does. Double blind would mean, for example, that the medium didn't have the identity of the sitter and the information, and the experimenter was kept blind. So, you know, I could have a sitter, for example, and I would be kept blind to details about their deceased loved ones. So I couldn't be giving any cues to the medium. And the third kind is triple blind, where literally the sitter is blind. You say, well, how do you keep the sitter blind? The answer is you don't let them show up when their actual reading takes place. They're not even present.
They're not even there. Oh, my.
They're not even there. And you have a proxy sitter sit in for them who's also blind. In this case, it would be an experimenter. And then you would give, let's say, the first name of the deceased loved one, and the experiment wouldn't have any other details but the first name, the same thing as the medium. And then later, the sitters would be given multiple readings, some of which was their readings and some of which were controls. And then they scored them blindly, i.e. they scored them for their loved one, but they didn't know which was theirs and which was somebody else's, i.e. triple blind. And even under those extraordinary sets of conditions, with really gifted mediums, they could get highly accurate information that was, you know, statistically significant and the like. And so the conclusion that I was forced to is that some mediums are real. And that's what started me on this journey.
Wow. No, I urge everyone to read The Afterlife Experiments. It's an eye-opener for anyone who thinks that there is no evidence or proof. I consider it to be proof that the dead survive because there are people talking to them. Now, since you have introduced me to Suzanne Wilson, whom I am recommending to everyone, and I want to continue to work with her while she's still available to the world because pretty soon she'll be overwhelmed. She is no doubt not only real, but extraordinary. And I think her gift comes from her purity of heart. I
agree with you. By the way, I should share, since you mentioned Suzanne Wilson, that I had the privilege of working with her just last weekend in an experiment that was conducted in Los Angeles, which is a follow-up to a documentary called The Life After Death Project. It's www.lifeafterdeathproject.com. It was a documentary done by Paul Davids. And Suzanne was one of the two mediums that we invited to participate in this research. The other one is Jamie Clark, who also you probably had met.
Yes.
Maybe at the meetings a year ago.
Yes.
The ASCII meetings. And I was just, and everyone was amazed at both of them. And she was breathtaking in her accuracy, including under the blinded conditions that she worked. It was it's nice to be able to honor the two of them.
It certainly is. I should just say one thing more, that I talk about the Academy for Spiritual and Consciousness Studies Life in the Afterlife Conference, which is being held September 27th to 29th of 2015 in Scottsdale. And I should say that Dr. Gary Schwartz is our keynote speaker for that conference, and both Suzanne Wilson and Jamie Clark will be there and will be offering readings to participants. So that's yet another reason, if any of this interests you, to think about joining us in September in Scottsdale, Arizona. Just go to ascsi.org for more information. Wow. Okay. Well, so with that background and all of this wonderful stuff you've been doing, and I know there's so much more we'll not be able to touch on today, the thing that we've talked about perhaps really making the topic of our conversation is the white crow phenomenon, which is a little bit what started you on your career when the light should have disappeared over the millions and trillions of years that it's been traveling, and it was still, you could still spot a star even so long after that in that same spot. It hadn't decayed or even moved much. So that was kind of a white crow, which is hard for anyone to explain. Something you need to investigate more. And there are many white crows in this field. And you have one who is a great friend of yours, but was before her death and is after. And we talked about maybe you're talking about Susie Smith as a way to help to people understand the concept of a white crow. And then what the heck has Susie been telling you about where she is now?
Okay. Well, let's first of all talk about William James and how he used the term. By the way, I did my PhD in William James Hall, and William James was, of course, a hero of mine and still is.
Of course, of course.
And so when William James used that phrase, which simplified just says, in order to disprove the law that all crows are black, we need only find one white crow. That's a, you know, simplified version of it.
Yes.
He was referring to white crow mediums. So he was essentially saying, in order to disprove the idea that all mediums are fakes, that they're all engaged in fraud and cold reading and so on. And by the way, there are fake mediums, a lot of them.
A lot of them, we know.
Yes, or they're just not very good. In order to disprove the law that all of them are fakes, you just have to find one good one.
Yes.
And that's the quote that I used to start the Afterlife Experiments book, because in that book I presented evidence for five what I called white crow mediums. Now, what's different about our conversation today than ones in the past using the term white crow is that now I'm not talking about white crow mediums. I'm talking about white crow spirits.
Yes.
In fact, the very first time that I'm using the term a white crow spirit is at a special dinner presentation that I've been invited to give at the upcoming meeting in North Carolina. Which I think is next week, isn't it?
Yes. That's also at ASCSI.org conference. And there are tickets still available. If anyone would like to meet Gary next week in Durham, North Carolina, just go to ASCSI.org and you can sign up there.
Yes. Well, I decided, partly because this was a second talk that they were inviting me to give, and it should be a little bit more I thought sort of informal and fun, that I would honor this person, Susie Smith. So the title of the talk, I think, is called A White Crow Spirit, Lessons I've Learned from Susie Smith After She Died About the Other Side, or something like that.
Right.
And what happened was is that there's this woman, Susie Smith, who I'll talk about momentarily, who died in 2001. And since then, through many, many mediums, in many different research contexts, as well as sort of lay life contexts, Susie Smith has come through. And in the process, she's taught many lessons about the other side. And in this presentation, I list 12 lessons that Susie has taught me, which I'm now sharing, you know, with the world. In fact,
Please just first tell people who she was, because
yes,
she was a great person in her own right.
Absolutely.
In this field.
Susie Smith was a journalist who, when I met her, she was 85 years old. And at that time had published 29 books in the field of parapsychology and life after death. And Susie had started out a skeptic, a disbeliever, and wasn't until her 40s, after her mother died, that she began to wonder whether it was possible that life after death existed. And she wanted to know if it was true. And so she went on a quest. And she ended up going to Duke University, to their parapsychology laboratory at the time. And then she went to New York, became involved with the Parapsychological association there, which was then headed by a very distinguished medium of her day, Elaine Garrett, who's interested in research. Susie wrote a couple of academic books, which of course didn't make money. And the way that she was able to keep herself, you know, funded, supported, was she started writing books for the general public. And by the way, Susie came to believe that she actually not only was in contact with her deceased mother, who she maintained a relationship with for over 40 years, but she also believed that she became in contact with the late, great William James.
Yes, I was wondering if we'd get back to that. Isn't it? We keep circling around.
And in fact, she
you can make that up, Gary. Isn't that wonderful?
No, you can't make that up. And she even claimed that she wrote two books with William James. One of them, which was called The Book of James, a very clever title, which was a minor bestseller in the 1970s. So anyway, I met Susie when she was 85 years old, and to make the long story short, Susie became my adopted grandmother. She was retired at the time. She used to call me her illegitimate grandson.
Oh, isn't she wonderful?
And as Susie was fond of saying, she couldn't wait to die so she could prove that she was still here. Think of that line. She couldn't wait to die so she could prove that she was still here. And then a few months before her 90th birthday, which we were going to be celebrating in my laboratory, Susie had a massive heart attack and passed away. And you see, Susie was not just any grandmother.
No.
She was an authority. She knew the great mediums of her day. She knew Arthur Ford. She knew Elaine Garrett. She had her own little survival research foundation to conduct research in this area. So if anybody had a mission to continue, you know, providing evidence for life after death, it was Susie Smith. And over the years, she's taught me all this wonderful things. And finally, I'm putting it together in a way that honors her and what she's taught us.
Wow. Okay. Well, so now that we've seen three different iterations of William James, yes, he coined the term White Crow. His name was given to the places where you studied at Harvard. And he came through this wonderful woman, which you're now going to tell us more about. By the way, the Book of James, I recommend if you can find it. It's probably on Amazon. I loved it, frankly.
Yeah, so did I, although I didn't actually read it until after Susie passed away. She was always, you know, I was so busy. I read a few of her books. But that was one that maybe it was wise that I didn't read until after she passed.
Right, that's true.
Right. I would love to do is to just read out loud the 12 lessons, and then you can ask me which ones you'd like me to talk about.
Okay, right? Let's do it.
So here's the 12 lessons that Susie Smith taught me. First of all, that spirits can come through in 24 hours. It doesn't have to take weeks or months. Certain spirits can start immediately coming through. Second, they can reveal plans that they're going to be doing in their next life, i.e. on the other side, that can serve as evidence for what they plan to do before they physically died. So think about this. You could hope to do things in the afterlife after you've died. Then you go die. And now you can show mediums that you're actually doing what you plan to do.
Wow.
Three, spirits can drop in unexpectedly to other mediums or other people, and it's their choice as to who they do this to. Four, spirits can watch over us, and they can watch over us in very protective ways, as well as just in loving ways. Five, spirits can sometimes foresee future events, and can give us information, both positive things that are happening and potential negative ones. Six, spirits can visit mediums for specific purposes. They can have intentions to go to a medium that we might not know about to provide some evidence or some information that we didn't know about. Seven, spirits can appear younger than the age of their death. They can pick that age that they wish to appear, and you can document that they're actually looking at a younger age. Eight, spirits can interrupt and literally intervene in research. This is probably literally they can even mess up your research.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Especially
to know?
if they're sophisticated. And that was brought home to me. 9, spirits could show up anywhere at any time.
Oh, dear.
And I tell the funniest stories here. In one case, is literally on a golf cart out in Florida. 10, spirits can bring other spirits to mediums under blinded conditions. So a spirit can say, gee, I want to have a reading for another spirit, and then bring that spirit to a medium, and that reading can take place. 11, spirits can confirm events from other spirits so that they can literally validate what other spirits are doing. And then 12, spirits can actually play a role in matchmaking.
Are you serious?
I am serious. So those are the 12 lessons that I have highlighted that Susie has taught me. She's taught me more, but that's enough to fill up a few hours of an evening.
It'll boggle anyone.
And we won't do all of them. I mean, I'll briefly touch on all of them in the presentation.
Well, so what fascinates would you like? You most? Tell me what interests you most in that she has. How has she expanded your understanding?
Wow. Okay. Well, let's do 6 and 7 first.
Okay.
Because it's really startling. And by the way, I've actually submitted a research paper to the Journal of Consciousness and Spirituality Studies, or maybe it's the reverse, the journal for this organization.
Journal of Spiritual and Consciousness Studies. I think that's what it is.
That's it.
Yes.
Okay. Because it's had 3 titles over the past 10 years or something like that.
They're trying to get it right.
Well, I think they may have gotten it now for a while.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
So here's the story. First of all, spirits can visit mediums for specific purposes. The story is as follows. I have been contacted by a medium. Her name is Pat Shallon. I'm going to get her exact spelling here because I often get it mixed up. And Pat's actually written a book called Mediums, Migraines, and Magnetite, Making the Connection. And she was an intuitive who, among other things, she made her living sculpting animals. Okay, so she made sculptures of animals, which she sold worldwide. And a spirit showed up in her studio one day, a quote drop-in, not Susie. We'll get to Susie in a second. And this spirit was very striking to her, and she had the feeling that this spirit was connected to me. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So she contacted me and said, did somebody die recently that's connected to you that might be hanging around my studio? Now, somebody had died. A famous scientist in Europe whose name I have to keep anonymous. And I wondered, was it possible that he had somehow found his way to Pat and was there? So, and I said, well, gee, I don't know who it is. She said, well, I didn't know who he was either, and I didn't know what to do, so I sculpted him.
Sculpted him? How fascinating.
I said, what? That's what I said. What? You sculpted him? I'd never heard of I've heard of mediums making paintings sometimes or drawings,
yes,
but never a sculptor. And she said that she tried to draw him, but she didn't draw very well. And she had never tried sculpting a spirit, so she sculpted him. So I said, why don't you send me the photograph of the sculptor? So she did. And it was virtually a perfect image of this man. Now, I had
really?
No idea whether this was this happenstance, was this, you know.
Right.
So what I did was as follows, because I now had this relationship with Susie. Now, I should explain, I'm not a medium.
Right.
I mean, I don't see spirit. I don't hear spirit. One of my colleagues, Dr. Robert Steck, a few years ago, said that I was the Helen Keller of afterlife research.
That's great. I think it's helpful that you're not, I'm not a medium either, but that's wonderful. I've got to remember that.
I think it's fantastic. It's a great gift that I can't do this because it makes me more attentive to people who
do
more critical and more
researcher.
Thoughtful.
That's right.
Yeah, a pure researcher in this arena. So anyway, But I know, because I have all this evidence, that I can, quote, ask Susie in my head, and she will hear me, because it's been independently confirmed so many times through so many mediums.
Sure.
So I said to Susie, I said, could you please go to Pat and have her sculpt you? Now, Pat had never met Susie, knew next to nothing about Susie, and I knew that it was possible to cheat with Susie, because she was there were a few photographs of her, okay? But I figured, let's just see what happens, because, you know, it's very hard to do this otherwise. So I invited Susie to go there. So Susie apparently goes to her studio.
Uh-huh.
And Pat claims that she now sees Susie in the studio. So again, you're seeing that the spirit Susie is visiting with Pat, who in those days lived in California, for the purpose of being sculpted, sitting for a sculpture.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. So she now does the sculpture. And Pat says, I'm not getting the hair quite right. She says, I've got to do this. Again, Susie's making it really clear that I've got to get her hair perfect. Okay. So finally she does the sculpture, finishes the sculpture, and sends me the image. And the image that I see floors me, because it's not an image of an 89-year-old woman, the kind of pictures that I had of her.
Yes.
It was of an image of a woman in her 40s.
Yes.
And listen to this. Only two or three people had ever seen that, or at least currently had ever seen that an image like that of her. There was none of this available on the internet. And the reason is because Susie had gifted me, as part of her when she died, a painting she had made of herself, a self-portrait. Susie was a painter. She had made a self-portrait of herself when she was in her mid-40s, which I kept in a closet, secreted away so nobody could see it. And the image of the sculpture that Pat made fit that painting almost to
goodness.
A T.
Wow.
So now we had not only could she visit for a specific purpose, but she was appearing younger. Now, you've probably heard reports of that.
Yes.
That people often say that the spirit will come at the age that they wish to appear.
They can
appear older. They can appear younger. It's their choice, their preferred age. Now, if you want to be identified by your loved one and your grandchild has only seen you as a grandmother, it doesn't pay to show up when you were
You're
an adult. You want to be recognizable.
So you look like a healthy older person at that point.
Right. But Susie, who is a superb researcher, would have known that the only way to prove to her skeptical adopted grandson
wow,
that this was really her posing would be to do something that, you know, is a total surprise.
I love that story. That's fabulous.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. It is. But obviously you're meeting her when she was older was not an accident. All of this has to have been something that you and she planned when you were doing your various out-of-body travels at night, because this is such a wonderful collaboration. It only started before her death. This is wonderful.
Well, again, I'm not being a psychic intuitive like that. I'm totally agnostic about whether I knew Susie in a prior life or whether I made a contract with her before we were born or something. What I can say is that the evidence is certainly strongly suggestive.
Yes.
That she and our connections go back
quite a lot. Yes.
Quite a ways.
Yes. Wow.
So what would you like to hear me?
Well, I'd like more wonderful stories like that, please. Do you have anything else like that up your sleeve?
Well, they're really all wonderful. Let me just think about one that I'd like to share. All right. You want to hear the role in matchmaking?
Yes. Oh, that was a good one. Everyone wants to hear that one. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think that of all the things that Susie has done, and she's done, every one of them is extraordinary. Seriously. I think this one takes the cake. And it's actually available in print. for anyone who's interested, because it's shared in my wife's book called Love Eternal. If you go to drgaryschwartz.com, that's DR stands for drgaryschwartz.com, it'll take you to a copy of I wrote the foreword for the book that she wrote. And it's in that book that she confesses a lot of this story. But we haven't done – we've done virtually no promotion, partly because we've been keeping this sort of – what's the word? Not undercover, but low key for the time being.
Yes.
But now it's time to be more overt about it. In fact, sidebar, Rhonda is going to be giving her first presentation about this book at the September meeting. She was invited – to talk about Love Eternal.
Yes, and should just say that Rhonda is just a wonderful, beautiful person, and I'd love seeing the two of you together as a couple. It's a true love story. So tell us how Susie made that happen.
Okay, this is the craziest, most delicious, beautiful, humbling story. So here's the very quick version. I'm going to Duke University. This is 9 years ago. In Durham. I think our conference is in Chapel Hill, isn't it?
Yes, I believe
okay.
so.
And this conference, which was an afterlife conference, was in Durham. And I was giving the keynote address at that conference, and it was on the afterlife experiments. And by the way, it included information about Susie, because Susie had passed away, and we had done some experiments together. There is this woman who appears there, who happened to be Rhonda. And Rhonda decided to come to this meeting under strange circumstances because she, her mother had died 5 years earlier, around the time that Susie had died. And Rhonda was raised by a spiritual mother and had spiritual experiences themselves, and they had a deeply loving relationship, began to have experiences with her mother after death communications after her mother had passed. And Rhonda didn't know that this was possible. She knew people like John Edward could do this, but she didn't think that lay people could do this. And she, being science-minded, kept a very detailed journal all of this. And after 5 years, she felt that some of this might be helpful. And she was inspired by Susie Smith. And so she actually typed up her entire journal and brought a copy for each of the presenters, but the one in particular she wanted to give a copy to was me. Now, let me step back for a second. 3 or 4 days before I'm going to this meeting, a medium who I had been working with at the time calls my then secretary, administrative assistant, telling her that a friend of hers, who is a medium, had a dream in which Susie Smith had come to her 2 nights in a row. Not once, but 2 nights in a row. And in each night, she said that she was coming because she had a message for Gary, meaning me.
Uh-huh.
And that something really important was going to be happening on the 6th. And that I needed to pay attention to it.
Oh,
now, because this dream happened twice, not once, but twice, the medium contacted my administrative assistant, and the administrative assistant asked me. And I said, what? I said, 6? What does that mean? The 6th day of the month? The 6th month of the year? It had no meaning to me whatsoever.
Sure.
And I ignored it. Okay? Now I'm at this conference, which, and what's really critical is that on June 6th, I had an extraordinary set of synchronicities related to the meeting of this woman, Rhonda Eklund. And again, I don't have time to go through all of those synchronicities. I mean, it would take you like 10 minutes and just trust me that they were so amazing within a short few hours of being revealed that I literally asked Rhonda if she had an upcoming birthday coming up. By the way, it was not June 6th. It was May 6th. I had the date wrong.
Uh-huh.
It was May 6th. And because now I'm remembering her birthday was May 18th. And it turned out that she had recently broken up with someone that she had had a longstanding relationship with. She was free on her birthday. And I asked her if I could take her take her out to birthday for a birthday dinner. And she lived in Seattle, which meant I would have to fly to Seattle and take her out to dinner.
Why not?
It was very magical. Anyway.
Anything for love.
Anyway. Because of her and Sue and literally in her notes, because she gave me a copy of this diary, she wrote that she had contacted her mother to contact Susie Smith to potentially help with all these anomalies that she was experiencing and to better understand this. So she had already heard about me. She had already heard about Susie Smith. And her mother had allegedly met Susie on the other side. And I began and by the way, Rhonda almost didn't come to this conference. It was, again, weird about how she ended up being here. And I put two to two together and I said, is it possible that Susie and Marcia, that was Rhonda's mother, had met on the other side? Her mother had decided that Rhonda, and Rhonda had never been married, by the way, which is amazing,
yes.
That Rhonda had been, so to speak, waiting for me, and that Susie agreed that Rhonda was right for me, and the two of them had been behind the scenes pulling
Isn't
strings.
That something?
So
your mother-in-law
exactly.
pick you out. Well, that's
now, of course,
a good housekeeping seal.
This is a quote. Yeah, this is a crazy thought.
Right.
So the question is, how do I verify this? So listen to this. I'm flying back to Tucson on Monday, and I get off the plane, and I called my administrative assistant to see whether she could arrange for me to have a reading with the woman, the medium, whose friend had originally been contacted by Susie.
Right.
Now, I had told my administrative assistant nothing about anything had happened. And by the way, I wasn't aware that I had been gone on the 6th because I hadn't been thinking in those terms.
Right.
I was just shocked by meeting this woman. And so I get off the plane and I called my administrative assistant. And her first question out of her mouth is, what happened on the 6th?
Oh.
I said, what? She said, what happened on the 6th? I said, when was the 6th? She says, you were away over the past 4 days. The 6th was Saturday. Well, that was the day when all these synchronicities occurred, and then I decided that I needed to spend more time with Rhonda and invited her for her birthday dinner.
Yes.
So I said, look, I said, I can't tell you what happened. I said, but I need, please, to see whether you could contact this person and ask if we could do a private reading, personal reading for me. I can't tell you anything about it, but I need for her to contact Susie Smith. So she called this person. The person said yes. So I was able to go over to her house at literally 2 hours upon returning to Tucson. Now, this woman had previously received information from Susie Smith. None of that would be evidential. The question is, could she verify anything that happened over the past few days?
Right.
And could she verify the person that would eventually become my mother-in-law? The mystery woman.
Right.
Okay. And I recorded this reading. Okay. And the reading was off the charts. That there was all this evidence of this other woman, and it was like they were playing bridge and that we were building bridges to the other side.
Oh.
And this work was going to unfold and so on. But how could I be 100% sure that this really was Rhonda's mother? Well, at one point, the medium says, She says, I don't understand this, she says, but this woman, this mystery woman, is showing me something about a pickle. She's saying pickles are important, and I don't understand this at all. Now,
either.
You have to understand, and you know this about me, Roberta, I've now witnessed thousands of readings over the years.
Yes.
Literally thousands, okay? Never that I could recall the medium ever featured pickles.
Right.
Pickles, that's got to be wrong. It's got to be wrong.
Yeah.
So that night, after the reading, I called Rhonda and I shared with her some of this amazing emerging evidence of that maybe her mother and my adopted grandmother had been fooling around on the other side
trying to make
these connections.
Yes.
And so I said to her, I said, did your mother have any connection with pickles? And what Rhonda explained was, first of all, her mother was, quote, famous for making pickles.
Oh.
You know, she would take raw cucumbers and pickle them in jars. But more importantly was the fact that Rhonda had saved as a memento of her mother. She'd had it for the past 5 years. She had a special jar of her mother's pickles. And more interestingly, about a week or so before the meeting, on a lark, she was inspired to clean out her refrigerator. And for some reason, she put that jar of pickles up front so she would see it.
Oh, wow. So,
you know?
Yeah, by it's the way, wonderful. And obviously, their intuition was right, because you make a beautiful couple. It's just you're part of my inspiration that this does work for a lot of people to find a true love.
You know what's really amazing? By the way, we had a second reading another month later, coincidentally, with another medium, again done blindly to see whether we could get further evidence for this. And it was again recorded. And again, it was one of those extraordinary readings. And Rhonda tells the whole set pair of readings and the synchronicities in her book. What's amazing to me is the blending of one's academic research and one's personal life in this particular area.
Yes.
Because Susie was somebody who became very close to me. I mean, I loved Susie, and I love Susie. And she was very special for the 4.5 years that I knew her in the physical. And then after she dies, for her to be playing this behind-the-scenes role, both in academic research but also in my personal life, you know, it's hard to ignore those kinds of data.
No, I know.
When they're not just academic, they're not just theoretical, but you also have direct personal experiences.
This is the thing which people who want to be scientists in this field have the most trouble understanding. Reality is consciousness-based, and love is its source. So what makes it possible for you to work so well with Susie and for her to be such an important force in your life is the fact that you love one another. When you have that love relationship, anything is possible. But this is something you can't do, as you know, in dry jars in a laboratory. There's no way you can replicate this. It's not mechanical. It's of the heart. And that's wonderful.
Yes. But you know what's nice is that you can bring the heart in the laboratory.
Yes, you've proven and that, sir. Yes, you can. Over and over, you've proven that.
Because Susie has done things in the laboratory as well as in the laboratory of my personal life and other people's personal lives.
Yes. But I'm sure that her work with you is much stronger because of the fact that you're so close to her emotionally and that you love her and she loves you. That makes
yes, in
it
fact,
work.
Yes, you know, it's really beautiful. I didn't mean to interrupt to say this, but Susie was a very loving person, and she loved this work. So she had a love for the work. She had a love for the mission. She had a love for humanity and the planet. And then she had a personal love for me. And we shared her loves.
Yes.
Her loves were also my loves.
Yes.
So we had these mutual shared loves, plus we had the love for each other. And then we get to play all these different ways.
Isn't that wonderful?
And now, think about this. Thanks to you, Roberta, this is the first radio show I've ever done which is focused almost exclusively on my adopted grandmother and the lessons that she's teaching us about the other side.
Well, I'm thrilled to be able to share that information with everyone. And what I'm hoping is that it will help people look at their own lives and the people in them that they love and understand those loves are eternal. And there are ways that they work with us, you know, long after the end of that particular lifetime. And I'm not going to share more about it now, but I've told you that I've just discovered who my personal spirit guide always has been, and he tells me we've had 17 lifetimes together. My goodness. So no wonder we're close. I mean, if people have known each other through many lifetimes, you develop that mutual understanding. And I'll bet that's true of you and Susie Smith as well.
You know, what you are reminding me of, see, you have the right to be able to say these things with conviction, because you don't work as a university professor
in
a psychology department. You are right. You are a lawyer, and you deal with real life problems and so on. And you are clearly a scholar, but you don't have to live within the constraints of academia's four right. walls. Okay,
that's right. I'm glad.
Yes, you are. You're free. I don't have that freedom. But let me just share something wearing my academic hat. It's, quote, the cross I have to bear. And you'll appreciate the meaning in that. And that is that the question of the past life hypothesis is something I've done zero research in. As you know, I've done huge amount of research with mediums going back now almost 20 years, and with technology and with synchronicity and in the areas of energy healing and so on. But I've never addressed from an academic point of view, the past life hypothesis. And what I hope, just for the record, is that 5 or 10 years from now, you'll be on the planet, I'll be on the planet, and maybe we'll have a radio show about that we'll do for the we had the afterlife experiments.
Yes.
Maybe someday we'll have the past life experiments.
Wouldn't that be fabulous? Because this is a question I get often that people will ask me about it. It was one of the last things I decided to research, and it's obvious we have many many lives, especially the spiritually ambitious of us, and to confuse people more, apparently all our lives are happening at the same time and influencing one another, because there is no objective time where the dead are. But we don't need to go further into it than that. Everybody's eyes just crossed as I said that. But yes, I think that's a wonderful area for research if we can get a handle on how to do it, right?
Yeah, well, I think I know it's doable in principle. I mean, that's, as an academic and scientist, I can say that with some confidence. And it's just a question of, you know, time and energy and so on to enable that to happen. But it really would be nice to be able to, you know, my job is to be the agnostic about any statement that I don't have any research, formal
yes.
research on. So I have to remain agnostic to the, you know, whether you have 17 lives or 70 lives or
right.
7 lives.
That's
or
just
no lives.
That one person
lives.
I had 17 lives. Yeah, that
right.
really blew
well,
my
I
mind.
Would love to be able to figure out scientifically how to verify whether that's true or not. That should be the boring scientist.
Gary, we're coming toward the end of our. I can't believe this has gone so fast. Tell people how they can go to your website, what some of your books are. Give them that information.
Sure. I have an out of date website called it's www.drgaryschwartz.com. So it's one word, drgaryschwartz.com. That does have a listing of all of the books that I've published to date. But it has a lot of content there. It also includes the links to Rhonda's book. This summer, you've already mentioned two of the conferences that I will be participating in, which blessedly you'll be there as well. And Rhonda will be, coincidentally, you know, speaking at both of them as well. And Suzanne Giesman's going to be at one of them, and Suzanne Clark and Suzanne Wilson and Jamie Clark will be there at the August one.
Yes.
I have a new book that's coming out this summer, which is called Supermind, Self-Science of what is the title? Something like Self-Science and Synchronicity in Daily Life. Self-Science. Boy, now I've forgotten the subtitle. I'm embarrassed.
I can't believe anyway, you're an absent-minded professor, Gary. Yes, that's so great.
That's really funny. That's really funny. What is it called? It's Self-Science and Synchronicity in Divine Timing in Daily Life. That's
well,
what it is.
That's a long
Self-Science
title.
And Synchronicity.
Yes.
Yeah, like, and it's the book will be first time in print in a reviewer's copy at a conference in Omega in August. On synchronicity that Eben Alexander is the primary speaker at, and I will be doing this with him with a few other people.
That's great.
So
is there a website for that conference?
There is a website. If they go to the Omega Institute website, which is in Rhinebeck, I guess, is where they're located.
Wow, great. Okay, and then I should just mention again that the conference I co-chair in September in Scottsdale, September 25th to 27th of 2015, Gary is the keynote speaker, the leading light, the star, and both Suzanne Wilson and Jamie Clark, who are both stars, and bear your seal of approval, Gary. They will both be there, and Suzanne bears mine. I think she's just extraordinary. So if anyone has any interest in hearing more from Gary and maybe getting to meet him and talk with him, and also in getting readings from people that he and I both feel are terrific mediums, ASCSI.org, and it's called Life in the Afterlife. All the speakers are terrific. We have the A-list. It's going to be great. And I am so sorry we've come to the end of our time. I should just, you know, best say here that my name is Roberta Grimes. Usually I break in and say, by the way, this is Roberta Grimes, but I couldn't break into that. This has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never began and you never will end. And when you fully grasp all the implications of that fact, it's going to change everything for you. If you'd like to learn more of the amazing things we're learning about our one reality, past episodes of Seek Reality are available for free on iTunes. Just search there for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My own nonfiction books are The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Next. Look what you did to me. Now I don't know what I...
Sorry, it's catching, isn't it?
The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next, and The Fun of Staying in Touch. I should just say, whenever Gary and I are together, we hardly get to talk because we're laughing so much. That's one of the things I love you about you most, dear. You keep me laughing.
And ditto.
And The Fun of Staying in Touch. All of my books are mentioned at robertagrimes.com, and you can find my blog there, too. I get more and more comments on my blog, and people email me. I just love that. So if you're interested in hearing what I'm musing about, go to robertagrimes.com and read my blog. Our guest next week is Madeline Lawrence. She's a leading researcher in the field of transformative spiritual experiences, like my experience of light and so many others. She's a lovely person. I actually loved her. I've already done this interview. She's just terrific, and she's doing extraordinary work. Don't miss this. And again, we've been speaking today with my very dear friend, the one and only Dr. Gary Schwartz of the University of Arizona at Tucson. He is our leading traditional scientist who is doing wonderful basic research in the field of afterlife communications. He's been talking with us about white crows, which are anomalies now. We use it as for anomalies of all kinds that prove there's a lot more going on than what our eyes can see. Now, dear friends, think about this. Just one white crow is enough to show that things are not what they seem. And by now, the white crows, you would agree with me, Gary, the white crows fill the sky. So isn't it time that you tried to spot your own white crow that proves the afterlife is real? You are going to find them everywhere. But for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.